Charlie Parr is a Duluth-based songwriter and performer whose music often sounds like it could have been collected for the Smithsonian Folkways label. Raw and authentic, his style's been called country blues, folk, traditional, alternative, Americana, you name it. Charlie tours quite a lot and is a favorite of audiences in the UK, where his music often hits the top independent charts. But he's also a regular all over Wisconsin, and he'll be here this coming Saturday, playing at the Sugar Maple Traditional Music Festival in Madison. Hi, Charlie. Thanks for taking some time to talk with me.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I've been really enjoying listening to your most recent CD, When the Devil Goes Blind.
Thank you.
Did you grow up with traditional music, or is that something that you discovered later in life?
No, I grew up with it. I was very lucky. My dad had a pretty diverse record collection and a huge old Magnavox console stereo that I used to sit and listen to all kinds of music. You know, he had everything from some of the old Smithsonian records, you know, a couple of records off the Harry Smith anthology, all the way up to Johnny Cash records, and I loved listening to all of it. And I particularly got hooked on some of the older blues guys. He didn't have many of those records, but he had a couple of them, like Lightnin' Hopkins and Mance Lipscomb, and I started, you know, doing some, you know, kind of investigating on my own from those guys, and went backwards until I found Charlie Patton and Blind Lemon Jefferson, and thought I'd died and gone to heaven. So I was real lucky to be able to grow up, you know, with his music around me.
Well, it sounds like it's been infused into the music that you do to this day.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
What was the impetus for this newest recording, When the Devil Goes Blind? And is it mostly originals, or do you have some covers of some of those old blues guys?
There's two songs on there that I didn't write. One is Turpentine Farm, which is kind of a, I'm not really sure it's a blues. It was originally recorded in the early 30s by a duo called Pig Meat Pete and Cat Juice Charlie. And it seems like more of a kind of a hokum kind of song, but so many people have done versions of it, and I've always kind of enjoyed playing it live. And the other one is a spiritual called There Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down, which I recorded before I really realized that you know, Johnny Cash had recorded it before he died. If I'd have known that it was going to be released on a posthumous Cash record, I probably would not have touched it. But I really enjoy playing some of those old spirituals too. But the rest of the record I wrote myself.
Well, you talked about the Johnny Cash tune, where Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. Your tagline from your website that I saw is, one man, one guitar, one foot in the grave. And there are some dark themes of death and sadness and loss that kind of run through your music. But it seems in a lot of cases there's redemption or light at the end of the tunnel. Did you consciously try and balance that dark with a light, where's the darkness coming from?
Well, you know, I'm not sure I understand myself. I didn't really start writing songs until my dad passed away, and he was a huge, huge part of my life and you know, meant more to me than I can even say. And when he died, I think I handled the grief, you know, by writing songs. And so I think in a lot of ways that, you know, that the dark and the light are kind of both right there, you know, in how much joy I kind of took from knowing my dad, and then, you know, how much grief that I kind of carry with me from losing him. So I think it's all kind of right there, because it's still to this day, it's been since 1995, you know, songs come from that same well. You know, even when they're about something else, they're kind of motivated by that.
Yeah, you're accessing those emotional places, and the songs are so full of feeling and in some cases very raw. One of the ones that I really enjoyed was Where Are You Gonna Be When the Good Lord Calls You Home? Is that one of your own songs?
Yes, it is. I wrote that.
What was the impetus for that song?
I'm not really sure. I wrote it kind of fast, and I was, you know, I really like those old spirituals, and I think I was trying to, you know, kind of compare with some of them, you know, in some ways or another.
Let's hear a little bit of this one. This is "Where You Gonna Be When the Good Lord Calls You Home."
Where you gonna be when the good Lord calls you home? Sitting at your desk or sitting on the throne, coughing up the remnants of last night's fun gone wrong. Where you gonna be when the good Lord calls you home? Where you gonna be when your name comes to the top? Make up an excuse, you can tell it to the cops. Ain't nobody gonna listen till your line stops. Where you gonna be when your name comes to the top? When the horse ride you down.
I'm listening to an excerpt of "Where Are You Gonna Be When the Good Lord Calls You Home." I'm speaking with Charlie Parr, who's gonna be in Wisconsin this coming Saturday for the Sugar Maple Traditional Music Festival. Charlie, that was, you said, kind of a, has the spiritual feel, and you've got a couple of those on the CD. You are playing guitar in that one. What kind of guitar is that?
It's a resonator guitar made by National. It's a steel-bodied guitar, single-cone resonator guitar. I've had it for quite a while. I've been lucky to be able to get to know the guys at National and make these things and get a lot of advice and support from them. So it's been my favorite instrument, I guess, since I was able to get my hands on one.
Boy, it sounds so so rich and so raw at the same time. It's amazing how you accomplish that.
Well, they're unique. They're unique instruments. Nothing sounds like they do, and that's the truth.
I've also seen you play banjo, and I think you've got some kind of a stomp box, I would think.
Yeah, well, I definitely, you know, like to hear my foot so I can get a handle on my time a little bit. And at some point I started, you know, trying to amplify that so I could hear it better as people started coming to the shows and I was not able to hear it anymore. So it's kind of more for me, but you know, at certain shows the people seem to, you know, like it quite a bit too. It's really just a microphone stuck inside of a box. I'm not any kind of carpenter, so it's really a box covered with duct tape, and you know, it has like bent nails sticking out of it and pieces of wire holding it together. So.
Well, it must work. There's such a great sense of propulsion and percussion that goes through, even if we don't hear that, it comes through certainly in the playing. Do you pick what instrument you're going to use for a song based on trying to evoke a certain emotion or a certain feel? I mean, do you think of banjo for one type of song and guitar for another?
Well, yes and no. I mean, certain songs, you know, are kind of written on one instrument and then get moved around to other things. I kind of like to be able to play, at least all the songs that I've written, I like to be able to play them on, you know, any of the things that I have. And I play, you know, a 12-string acoustic guitar in the National, and then I play the banjo, but you know, I move them around, you know, a little bit, and it definitely does kind of change, you know, the temper of the song. One of the songs on the record, which is the last song, it's called Last Day, was written on the banjo, and when I was recording it, I was very fortunate to have Bo Ramsey hanging out in the studio with me, and I played it for him on the banjo, and he suggested I try it on the guitar, and I did, and I thought it sounded better and gave the song a little bit more of a odd kind of quality that it didn't have on the banjo. But when I play it live on the banjo, you know, it's even more interesting to me somehow, so I'm wondering if I made the right choice. But songs kind of go all around the different instruments.
Let's listen to a little bit of this Last Day.
Christ that arose from the dead, we woke up with the dawn, got ourselves dressed, take him home. Home is where he needs to be. So that's what we told the doctor. And then they set him free.
We've been listening to an excerpt of the song Last Day by Charlie Parr from his CD When the Devil Goes Blind. Charlie Parr is going to be appearing in Wisconsin this coming weekend for the Sugar Maple Traditional Music Festival in Madison. He's kicking off the action on the main stage at noon on Saturday. That's this Saturday, July 30th, at the Lake Farm County Park on the south side of Madison. Charlie, that song, was that about your father?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much just a bare-bones description of the last day of his life.
Wow. Yeah, it's...
My wife can't even listen to it. She said it's just too, you know, it's too close. But, yeah, that's basically what it is. And it's one of those songs that I'm not really sure where it came from. I wouldn't have ever sat down and tried to write a song like that, you know. It just kind of... kind of showed up, I guess, you know, like some songs do.
Just bubbled right up.
Right.
Presented itself.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, some of your songs have a kind of a whole minor chord thing flowing through them, and this one is, as much as it's such a deep and evocative song, it really has that sense of redemption and that sort of almost joy that a major chord and the beauty of the lyrics kind of gives.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was written on the banjo in a kind of a big happy C tuning, you know, that it worked really well in it. And on the banjo, it does have a different, you know, a different kind of thing altogether. So,
you know, listening to this CD, I was in tears at a couple places. Another one was the For the Drunkard's Mother. Holy mackerel, that's a song that, what about a war veteran living under a bridge?
Yeah, I used to do work in the Twin Cities here in Minnesota, and also up in Duluth. I did work with a couple of different homeless outreach programs, and you know, for a long time actually before I ended up quitting. But you know, that kind of work got into my I guess under my skin, and now it, you know, kind of creeps out a lot in songs. So that's another kind of true song. It's not really about anybody specifically, but we saw so many people who, you know, were veterans and had gone, you know, gone to war for this country and came home to become homeless, you know, and develop all kinds of other problems and just ended up living on the margins and dying there as well. And the only time we ever really got to, you know, understand, I guess, about the families that these veterans had would be when they die, and we'd have to try to find them and
try and find their parents or
right,
family.
Right. And sometimes, you know, they just didn't have any, and sometimes they did, and they had been unable to locate their loved one until it was too late. So that's kind of where that came from.
Lots of wonderful music, not just on this CD, but on many others. And we're certainly looking forward to having you at the Sugar Maple Traditional Music Festival.
I'm really looking forward to coming back. I managed to get there twice now, and I really, really love that festival. It's one of my favorites.
Well, you'll be kicking things off on Saturday. So for listeners who plan to be there early and ready for Charlie Parr. Charlie, thanks for sharing your time and your talent with Simply Folk listeners. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate being here. It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
We'd like to listen to one more song. What would you like to leave listeners with?
Maybe the first track. It's called I Dreamed I Saw Jesse James Last Night.
All right. Let's hear it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Stop. Oh boy, it's heaven bound. Ain't gonna stop.